Morning. We're going to continue. Actually, this is the last part of the series on living generously. This was the sermon I was actually planning to preach last Sunday. And, you know, if you were here, God had something else he wanted to do, which I'm always open. Just so you know, I'm always open to the Lord doing whatever he wants. And so we're going to talk today, this morning, we're going to talk about God being a rewarder. God loves to reward people. One time there was a couple, they were married, and the husband was, he was very, very frugal, cheap. He did not like to spend money. In fact, he just liked to save all the money that he could. Is anybody here married to somebody like that? No, you probably shouldn't raise your hand. Anyways, he always wanted to save all his money, always never wanted to spend money on anything. And as he would save and save and never wanted to give, never wanted to buy anything new. And as he got older, he said to his wife, he says, listen, I want you to promise me something. When I die, I want you to take all my money and put it in the casket with me. I want to take it with me. And so they kind of argued and squabbled over it. And finally she said, fine, I'll do it. And some years later he got sick and he passed. And at the funeral, the casket was open and the lady walks up with a box and she puts it in and she goes and sits back down beside a good friend who was there for support. And her friend looked at her and said, you didn't really put all that money in the casket, did you? And she said, well, yeah, of course I did. She said, how could you do that? Why would you do that? And she said, it's okay. He's got it all. I wrote him a check. Oh, come on, that's a funny joke. I don't care who you are. let me ask you this. Evaluate your own life in terms of generosity. We've been talking about generosity. Evaluate. Think about your own life. Are you really, truly generous? Right? Do you wish you could give more and then act upon it? Or is it just every now and then a thought that crosses your heart or mind, or maybe not at all? Are you really truly generous with your time, with your money, with your affections? Those are the three things we've been talking about. I asked you to evaluate, not in order to judge or condemn, but there's a good spot, there's a good place for us in our lives to truly evaluate our actions and the position of our heart. And generosity pushes in areas of our heart that some other things often don't. So, because God asks us to give. He asks us to give financially, he asks us to give of our time, and he asks us to give our love towards other people, our affections. You know, I don't ever think that God intended giving or tithing to be a law. It's, of course, you find it in the Old Testament written as a law. But the fact is that Abraham, before the law was ever written, law being written by Moses, Abraham lived before him. Abraham tithed, the Bible tells us that he tithed, he gave to the priest Melchizedek, who we would understand was here on earth as the form of Jesus, right? Jesus came in the form of Melchizedek is what I'm trying to say. And he tithed to him. And so that idea of generosity towards the Lord was there before the law was written. And then sometimes, you know, people will say, well, yeah, that's an Old Testament thing. But if you go forward into the New Testament, Jesus is having some conversation with Pharisees and the law keepers. And he says to them at one point, he says, well, you tithe, you give these things, these spices and dills. And he says, but you ignore mercy and justice. And then he says, you should do the former, but also pay attention to the latter. He's saying there, like, hey, yeah, absolutely. Tithing is giving. Generosity is something that you were meant to do, but we're also meant to embrace and be a part of love and mercy. What Jesus is doing there is he's saying this is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And I don't ever think God intended it to be a rule or a law that we follow. The problem with making it a rule or a law that we follow, and sometimes you'll run into that in Christian circles, people that say, no, it's 10% and it's only 10%. And because that's what the word tithe means. The word tithe means tenth, if you don't know. And they'll say that that's the rule, that's the law. The problem with that is when we make something a rule or a law, especially in our relationship with God, what it does to us is it tends to either congratulate us or condemn us. Yeah. Right? It's like, yeah, I give my 10%. Right? I give my 10. And then those that really sincerely can't. I'm not talking about those that just don't want to or just, you know, make up excuses. Well, I can't because, I mean, those that really truly can't give that full amount because they're, it would be like I tithe or I just don't pay rent every month kind of a thing. Right? They then feel condemned. It's not that they don't, maybe don't give. They just don't ever reach that number that we say you have to reach. There's the problem when we make it a rule or a law. And God says it's an issue of the heart. I made this statement to you last week. I'm going to make it again. If God doesn't have your money, he doesn't have your heart. If God doesn't have your time, if he doesn't have your affections, he doesn't have your heart. Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart are also. Right? I think that should work. There it is. Where our heart, where our treasure is, there our heart is also. I don't think God ever wanted tithing, giving to be a rule, because here's what I think he intends. Some of you within this room could easily give more than 10%. And when you think that you've fulfilled the rule, you just stop. And then your heart isn't actually positioned to hear from him because you stop listening. You think, well, I've done my part. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've met the rule. I've met the standard. And then the rest is mine, right? So God doesn't want just 10% of your money. No different than he doesn't want 10% of your heart, 10% of your mind. God wants it all. He wants it all. He wants to lead your whole life. And so you could give more than 10, but if you think that you've met the standard, then you just stop listening. And the fact is, he might ask you to give more. And then the problem with those that sincerely can't give is you're under this condemnation, and you can't then receive the grace that God has for you. Because you think, I'm just never measuring up. Now, don't assume that when I say you received the grace that he has for you, that that doesn't mean that he won't ask you to give 10%. My goal here isn't to create a law or a rule. My goal is to have you listen to the Lord about your time, about your who you love, your affections, and your money. Listen to him. Because some of you maybe don't have it. You really can't. And he might say to you, give it anyway. He might. And then you have to trust him. This is really the issue here, isn't it? Trust. You have to trust him. And for some of you, right, that can give over and above, he might be asking you to do that. My goal isn't to make this, I don't want this. It's not meant to be a rule or a law. It's meant to be a position of our heart where we're saying, God, everything I have is yours. See, we would readily agree with the statement many times. Yes, God, everything I have is yours. Until he says, well, you gave your 10%, now give 20. And you'd be like, I don't know if I heard that right. See, biblically, whoa. Let's try that again. Yeah, you know, it happens. Honestly, I need like an extension out here. I need guardrails. Yeah. I forget what I was going to say. I remember that part. Thank you. I just don't remember the rest. Let me ask you this. We say, if a friend came to you, good friend, they came to you and they said, I'm in a tough spot financially. I need help. Can you loan me $1,000 and I'll pay you back in 6 months? And you say, yeah, sure. Okay, we can do that. And so you loan them the money. And let's say 6 months goes by and you go to your friend and you say, hey, listen, you know, remember? They say, oh, yeah, absolutely, I remember. I've got the money, but I don't want to give it to you. I've decided I'm just going to keep it. Thank you. Would that make your relationship difficult, wouldn't it? It would, for some of you, it would even just break the relationship. You'd be like, I'm done, I'm out. We can't be friends anymore. And there's something there around the issue of generosity and giving that pushes on us. See, the Bible describes that there are tithes and then offerings. That's where I was going. There are tithes and there are offerings, right? He tells us in Leviticus, God says, the tithe is mine. It's his. An offering is anything that you give over and above that. Whether it's your time, right, affection. Because when I talk about that, honestly, sometimes God asks us to give more than we want to. Have you ever known? And it might be money, but it also might be God looks at you and says, see that person? I want you to go and extravagantly love them. And you'd be like, I don't want to. God will push us in these areas. And the reason that he pushes us is because what it does is it pushes out of us selfishness. Now, another example. Let's say we just took an offering, right? Tithes and offerings. If on Sunday mornings when I do it, I almost always use the phrase God's tithes and our offerings. And the reason I do that is because the tithe belongs to him. But let's say we're passing the plate and you are in desperate need of $100. If you don't get it, everything's going to fall apart in your life. You need $100. Let's say the offering plate goes by, there's a $100 bill right on top. Would it be okay to take it? It's theft, right? You'd be stealing. Plain and simple. Now, why is it and how is it any different if you take it from the plate or it just never leaves your bank account to get to him in the first place? God says the tithe is his. I am not trying to condemn anybody. I am not trying to make this a rule. I am trying to open your heart and mind for God to get to a place where he talks to you about everything you have being his. Why? Because God is a rewarder. If your friend that you lent $1,000 to and then doesn't pay you back comes maybe a couple years later and says, I'm really stuck. I need $5,000. Right? What are you going to do? You're like, probably no. Probably no. Because why? Because it's hard to reward somebody you can't trust. It's hard to reward somebody you can't trust. God doesn't want 10% of your money. He wants your heart. Why does he want your heart? Because he loves you, but if he has your heart, he knows he can trust you. Why do you want God to have your heart? Because if he has your heart, you'll hear him, you'll obey, you'll know that you can trust him. And he desires to reward you. He desires to reward you. One of the problems when we make tithing, giving, generosity a rule is that we can then give and think God owes us. If you do that, if you give your time, your money, or you give away love and think, okay, God, you owe me now, like something should come back to me, that should send a flag up, put a flag up in your mind, your heart, that's really rooted in a selfish place. God wants to eliminate that within us because he desires to reward us. In Mark 14, this is just a beautiful story. It says, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume out over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. This is the disciples here scolding her. But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. That's quite a reward right there for what she's given to Jesus. She ends up in the Bible, and it says anywhere that the good news, the story, the message of Jesus, anywhere it's preached, anywhere it's told, this woman's deeds will be talked about. Now, this is Mary who's done this. Mary from, like, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Okay, so this is Mary who's done this for Jesus. The disciples, I don't know, it doesn't say how many of them criticize, but what we do know, we know that Lazarus was in charge of the money bag that they had as a group, right? When Jesus would travel and minister, people would give money to them. And Lazarus was in charge. And what we know is that Lazarus stole from the money bag. Sorry. Thank you, Judas. Thank you so much. I was saying Lazarus. Judas. Thanks for clarifying. Judas stole from the money bag. It's just one of those mornings, isn't it? I'll try not to fall off the stage again. Judas stole from the money bag. Judas is probably the one that complains the most. Right? The perfume that Mary has, that she's given, bought, poured out over Jesus, it was worth approximately a whole year's salary, a whole year's wages. That's a pretty extravagant gift, right? What would you do if God asked you to give a whole year's wages away? Why did she want to do this? This is where Lazarus comes in. Why did she want to do it? Only months before, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And she was so thrilled to get her brother back. The point is this. It's out of this place of deep gratitude for what Jesus has done for her that she offers something extravagant. Something that I think for many of us, we're not sure we could ever give that much. And I think that's okay. But we have to be willing if God asks. And so Judas reveals this selfishness that's there. And selfishness is the enemy of generosity. I got the name right that time, didn't I? Yeah, thanks. All right. Mary is so grateful because Lazarus has been given back to her. And as she comes, I don't think she's thinking reward. I think she's thinking gratitude. And yet God rewards her. He rewards her. You see, God desires to reward you. He desires to reward you. One of the problems when we make tithing, giving, a rule or a law is we can either fall into this idea that he has to reward us, which is selfish, or we're unsure that he ever will or what it looks like. And the truth is, our only goal should be just to hear him. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my time? What do you want me to do with my money? What do you want me to do with my heart? Who do you want me to love? Who do you want me to demonstrate and show love to? And listen to him. Hear what he has to say. You can cultivate gratitude in your life. You can cultivate it. First, by just simply committing to it. Saying, I will choose to live a life of gratitude. I'll choose it. I will commit to this. I will remind myself of what Jesus has done for me. And when I feel and sense selfishness creeping in, I'll fight it, I'll battle it, I'll guard myself against it by choosing gratitude, by choosing to be grateful, by thanking him for what we've seen him, what he's done in my life, what I've seen him do, how he's forgiven me, set me free, whatever it is, how he's even just provided for me. So we commit to it and we cultivate it. And then secondly, we cultivate it by acting on it. You have to begin to act on it. You know, this is very expensive perfume that Mary pours out. And, you know, as I said, it's worth a whole year's wages. And I kind of wonder, sometimes I wish Scripture would kind of go behind the story. Because I kind of wonder, it's been a few months since Lazarus was risen from the dead. And I kind of wonder, she's thinking, I really want to give something to Jesus. I want to give him something. Right? And she's asking. And sometimes I wonder if she was like, she probably saw the perfume and thought, oh, that'd be great. Oh, it's a lot of money. And I wonder if she wrestled at all. Probably. It would seem natural, wouldn't it? And yet then she lands on this spot of saying, it doesn't matter. He's worth it. He's worth it. She's cultivated gratitude in her life. And then she acts upon it and she says, I'm going to do it. And she goes and she buys it and she prepares to pour it out upon him. Lots of times the Lord's going to ask you to give beyond what you're comfortable giving, whether it's in your finances or your time or in your affections, right? Even in terms of as we move towards multiple services, we're going to need help from you. You might end up, as you stop and listen to God, you might end up in a Sunday school room or serving in a way that you hadn't ever thought you'd want to or really desired to, but God might talk to you about it. That's all I really want, is for you to listen, to hear him, and do what he asks you to do. Because he desires to reward you. And he needs to know that he can trust us. I had mentioned to you, I'll close with this. I mentioned to you a book by a man named Robert Morris. It's called The Blessed Life. Absolutely worth buying and reading. I think we're going to have a copy here for sale soon. Fantastic book that will challenge you. But Robert tells this story about a friend of his named Stephen. Stephen was a businessman for 15 years. And then eventually shifted into other things in life. And Stephen told Robert this story. 15 years businessman, very successful. And one Saturday night, he was getting ready for church the next day. He's writing a check out for his tithe. And he gets done writing it, and he, you know, puts it in the envelope, everything. And then he says, I'm sitting there. He said, I suddenly have the thought, I wonder how much cash I have. He says, I wonder how much I have. So he goes he's got four different accounts. He's got, you know, his bank account, then a checking account. He's got some investments, retirement, things like that. So he goes in and he adds it all up. All four things. Adds it all up and he's surprised at the amount. He's like, oh, that's pretty good. Goes to bed, gets up the next morning before church, and he's spending some time with God, and he feels God say to him, how much money do you have? He says, right away, his first thought was, oh, I knew I shouldn't have added that up. I knew I shouldn't have done that. He says, well, what do you mean, God? Like, how much money do I have in my wallet? And God says, how much money do you have? He says, what? Like in my checking account? What do you mean? And finally, God says, you know what I mean. How much money do you have? And he said, okay, God, this is how much I have. And he felt the Lord say to him, would you give it to me? And he says his first instinct was fear. He said, and then my second thought was, yeah, of course I would, because it's yours anyways. Of course I would. And so the Lord said, okay, we're going to give it away. And so him and his wife spent some months and they gave away a lot of money. Gave it away, gave it away, gave it away. And then, you know, the man just continued business. About a year later, so he, like a in a business year calendar, business year later. So it was a few months in, remaining in that year, and then the full year later. He woke up one morning, he's with the Lord, and he felt God say to him, "How much money do you have?" And the man said, "It's okay, I don't need to know. I won't add it up, it's all right, Lord, I trust you." And God said, no, it's okay, add it up. And so he said, all right, fine. And so he sat down and he went through all four accounts again. He added it up, and it was over twice the amount that he had given away. He said, and as I realized how much more I had, he said, I felt the Lord say to me, "I did in 1 year what it took you 15 years of business to do. I could have done it overnight, but I wanted to show you that when you listen to me, I desire to reward you." Now, I don't know if God's ever going to ask you to give everything. I really don't. I know that I want you to be willing to. Me too. Honestly, because my first reaction too is, everything? Oh my gosh, that puts me into a fearful place. And then I have to stop and realize, right, I have to commit to being gracious, to being full of gratitude. I have to commit to being generous. And it's not mine anyways. It's really his. To give back to him what is his, which is all of us, everything about us anyways, right? This is what God desires and calls us to. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop. We're going to pray this morning because I just believe that God desires to reward you. And I believe that in this moment, for some of you, there's some heart issues that you need to surrender. Whether it's your money, your time, or the love that you choose to give to people or not. God desires to speak to you because he desires to reward you. Will you let him? Will you let him speak to you and change your heart, change your mind, to come into a place of being generous? One of the things that I've noticed is that generous people are often, not often, generous people are joyful people because they're, right, they've eliminated a lot of fear in their lives because they're just willing to give whatever God tells them to give. Generous people are joyful people. That's one of the rewards that God gives us, joy. Who doesn't want more joy in their life? I'm not sure any of you do by the looks on your faces, but okay. I know you're just thinking, all right. Let's stop and let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you are. Lord, I ask now that you speak to each and every one of us. God, for those that are open to hearing from you, Lord, may you speak. To those that really do want to hear what you have to say to them about their time, their affections, and their money. That really do want to love you with all that they have. Lord, may you speak now. God, may we not shrink back in fear, but may we trust you. May we trust you in all that you ask us to give and to do and to be. Thank you, Lord. God, you are able to do so far above what we can ask or imagine. Lord, teach us, help us. Lord, for those that are wrestling, trying to decide, God, I pray that your grace and your love would just be so evident right now, that they'd feel and sense the call, the conviction on their life to surrender, fully surrender to you. I know, God, that you desire to reward each and every person here. You desire to pour out joy. You desire to pour out your spirit. You desire to pour out finances and wisdom and love, grace. You desire to provide in every single way. So, Lord, may we fully surrender. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your name. Amen.